Thank you. Being in a foster home was, well, bizarre. They had two kids of their own, a daughter who, like me, changed her name later in life. So she went by Kate. And they had a son named Dan. Both were quite a bit older than me and were in college. So I felt very much like an only child. I hardly ever saw Dan. But Kate was home a lot. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. The foster parents had no expectations for me at all. But Kate, oh boy, at the time, I hated being alone with her because she made me do everything by myself. See, I could dress myself. But because my foster parents did everything for me, I was lazy. But by Kate making me do stuff, I grew to be independent, and as an adult, I live on my own. But I was also abused by the foster dad for 12 years. I won't go into it tonight because this is not the right setting. But man, it really messed my life up. And let me stop and make one point. If you have a special needs child, they can only meet your expectations. So if you buy into what most doctors say, you won't have any expectations for your child. But if you know the right people to contact and the right equipment to get, your child can become a productive person in society. But it's easier when you know Jesus, because then you have some direction in your life. I was 8 years old with no real way to communicate. The foster family could understand me because they were around me a lot. But few other people could. I went to a special school in Minneapolis, Minnesota called Michael Dowling. It was a special school for the disabled. Back in the early 70s, I was part of the first generation of disabled kids to receive an education, so no one really knew how much to expect from us. One day at school, someone was pushing me down the hall and someone had left the door to a classroom opened. I slammed on the brakes and pointed. I was told those were typewriters. I'm thinking, I am from planet Earth, and I've seen a typewriter on New Orleans. John Boy was a writer, and he used a typewriter. So I knew what a typewriter was, and I wanted to be in the class. I got told you had to be 12 to take the class. Kate created a monster because she sort of taught me how to fight for my independence. I knew I couldn't write, and I thought about all those weekly spelling tests and wondered why we were learning how to spell if we couldn't type until we were 12. So I did what any kid would do. I went on strike. I wouldn't do anything for 3 weeks. They didn't know what to do with a stubborn, opinionated, disabled kid. So they decided to let me try the class, thinking I would quickly give up. It took a 10-pound weight just to keep my hand still enough to type. Now, I have no idea what a typing class is like in a regular class, but I hope all of you who are my age can relate. Typing 101, Lesson 1, type these two letters for 6 lines. J-H-J-H-J-H-J-H-J-H-J-H-J-H-J-H-J-H. After that was done, I thought I would write an actual word. Typing 101, Lesson 2. DWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDWDW question. If keyboards are not in alphabetical order, why do we learn the ABCs? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Why not teach the QWEs? Q, W, E, R, T, Y. It makes sense to me. Because I did so well in the typing class, they not only dropped the age requirement for the class, but they provided typewriters in the classrooms for those kids who couldn't write. The typing class was for 2 years, of which I never knew why. But on the second year of the class, the typing instructor brought in a book of art that was all done using a typewriter, and this was called Typewriter Art. She was saying how hard it was to do, and how long it takes to learn. I said to myself, huh, that looks easy. She heard what I said and was annoyed. She then put a paper in my typewriter and gave me an hour to type out a picture. It was October, so I typed out a picture of a jack-o'-lantern. She was stunned. She asked me how I did it. I didn't know, I just did it. I practiced doing typewriter art as often as I could, because I was fascinated with the details I could come up with. As I created each picture, I used to imagine what each character would say if they could talk.
A D. I'm a D. What am I doing at this location?
I'm an R. I certainly don't belong here. Remove me.
See, because each character could only see their own surroundings, they can't see from my point of view. If they could, they could see the entire picture and understand why one character is not more or less valuable than the other. We are no different. How often do we want someone else's ability or position? And because we can't do what someone else does, or have what someone else has, we feel we are not important. You are important. You matter. You all have gifts inside of you. No one is ever discarded. I want you all to listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from the Dramatized Bible.
For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular.
Some of my art is on my website. And if you want to know more about typewriter art, you can Google typewriter art. And as you look at it, remember, you have just as value as the next person. How beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the hands that serve, the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful.
how beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the heart that loved and took all my sin and bore it instead. How beautiful the tender eyes that choose to forgive and never despise. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. And as he lay down his life, we offer this sacrifice. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for her groom with his light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of your life so that others may live. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the feet that bring the sound of good news and the King. How beautiful the hands that serve the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful.